Amen. Genesis chapter number 5, verse number 5. And I'm going to skip a little bit for different verses, all right? So just follow along with me. Verse number 5, it says, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." And then I want you to look at verse number 8. "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." Now you can read in between those and see that they had children there, so they did live and enjoy life. But I want you to see where it says all the days that Adam lived and he died. "All the days that Seth were 912 years and he died." In verse number 11, "And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died." Verse number 14, "And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died." And then in verse number 17, "And all the days of Mahaliel were 895 years, and he died." Verse number 18, "And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now all the days of Enoch were 305 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." For God took him. When we look here, this is a genealogy of the line of Adam and the line of Seth. This is a genealogy of the line of the righteous, if you want to call it, or Seth's line. And so when you look at it, God gives these lists of these men, these godly men, and he just says that they lived and they had children and they died. I guess it would be too long to record 900 years for one man and then go to the next one. So the Lord just gives us a record there of how long that they lived, their children that he wants us to know about. And then he says that they lived and then he said they died. But off the pages, the Lord lifts up and lifts out one man here in this genealogy, and his name was Enoch. And the Bible says in the 22nd verse, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Now I want you to look at verse number 24. "And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." God took him. And so off the pages, man lived, man died. Man lived, man died. Man lived, man died. All of a sudden, Enoch lived. He had a son, Methuselah, at the age of 65. And for 300 years after that, he lived and walked with God. And then the Bible says he was not, because the Lord took him. God took him. And he had this testimony that he walked with God. I want you to look, and you would, your Bible, all the way to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Just fast forward there all the way to the towards the end of your Bible, in Hebrews chapter number 11. You might say, "Brother Sewell, the Lord doesn't record all these other things about these men, doesn't record that they were godly men." I believe that they were godly men. I'm not saying they weren't godly men. I don't believe that Enoch would receive what he had unless it was passed down from him. But I didn't lift him up off the page. I'm not lifting him up off the page on accident this morning. God lifted him up off the page. And God testified that he was a man that walked with God. Two times out of three little verses. Maybe four, I don't know. But two or three different verses there, he only mentioned twice. He was a man that walked with God. He didn't mention about the other men. I'm sure they did. But not in a place and in a way that was noticeable of God. And God brings him off the page there, but he also mentions him and doesn't forget him in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to look in verse number 5. "And by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found." You say, what happened to him? God took him. He didn't die. Now he was translated, he got a new body, but he didn't die. He didn't have a natural death. There was no funeral for him. Matter of fact, when they went out to look for him, they couldn't find him. Only one other man in the Bible that we know did not die, and his name was Elijah. He's linked with Elijah. Matter of fact, there's only two men in the Bible that it says in the East, in the Old Testament, that he walked with God, and Noah's the next one. Noah walked with God. And so Enoch's in great company. And so you look here, God goes on to say, he says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Look at what the next verse says. You say, how can I please God? Verse 6 tells us, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so he was a man of faith. He was a man that walked by faith. He was a man that pleased the Lord. And so the Lord did not forget him. He mentioned him there in the sixth, the fifth chapter of Genesis, but he also mentions him, records him there in that hall of faith that we call the Hebrews 11th chapter. And so when we look at that, I want you to just take a look at his life and find out what is it that was so special about him that the Lord mentioned and really brought to our attention about his rapture. You know, he was raptured out. By the way, all the seeds of theology, or what we believe, and all the seeds of prophecy are in the book of Genesis. And Enoch is a picture and type of the rapture of the church. Enoch had a son. He had not had a son up to this point, but at 65 years old, he had a son named Methuselah. And I have a few people that probably the Bible scholars in here, you know what Methuselah means. It means when he dies, it will come. Most of y'all seen the movie, if you build it, it'll come. That's where they got it from. Methuselah's name says, when he dies, it will come. What will come? The flood. The very year, if you study, it's very easy to go through their dates there in this genealogy and look at their dates. The very year that Enoch died, or that Methuselah died, Enoch's son, was the year, possibly even the day or the week, that the flood came. God had given a warning to Enoch. Somewhere Enoch, though he was with the God of Zion, he still had to come to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ personally. He didn't just inherit. He still had to come to his own faith in the Lord. And God gave him a warning, and he named his son Methuselah. Matter of fact, many of the names that testify and reveal things about what God was speaking. Names mean something. And so he told Enoch that God was going to judge this world. And so he named Methuselah. It must have got in his heart. Because he didn't have just a little walk with God. He walked for 300 years with the Lord. Changed his life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. He's a new man, new creature. And that's exactly what Enoch was. There was a story, God took him, so he's a picture of the rapture of the church. You know there is coming a judgment day, the Lord's coming, it could be a day. If you're not living to be a day, that's when the Lord says to you, thank God, you're coming. Most of us don't think he's coming today, but he could. He didn't believe what God told him, and he lived for 300 years, and had a close relationship and walked with the Lord. There was a Sunday school class, what he learned at Sunday school, and he talked about Enoch, and she said, well, what did he say? He said, well, he was raptured out. God took him. And so he began to describe it like this. He said he would go out to his gate and meet the Lord in the morning to have a relationship, have a walk with the Lord. And so they would go out on long walks and have a relationship. He said one day that he had this walk with the Lord, and it was so long that God just said, you know what? You're closer to heaven than you are to your home. Why don't you just stay with me? You know, we laugh about that and we think about that. But I want to tell you something. The Lord is looking for people to have a relationship with him. He really is. Have you ever had a friend that you just connected me? said he walked with God, it wasn't just something passive. It was a real, vibrant relationship with God. So I want to just take a few minutes to look at his life and try to encourage you in my own life to have a walk that pleases the Lord. And so let's look at the first thing I just mentioned here, that Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God in his time. In his time. Look, if you would, in verse number 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And so Methuselah is the longest living man recorded in the Bible. He outlived Adam 969 years. He's a picture of God's mercy. But Enoch, like I said, that was his son. And so he was from the godly line of Seth, but he was only 70 years from the days or the time of Noah. 70 years. And so Enoch was a minority in his day, not a majority. He was not one of there. He was one of the righteous, and the righteous were not a majority. Cain's line was the one that was actually being produced, and that's the reason why the Lord brought this destruction, brought the flood to destroy the earth, because he could not find a man before the Lord. And the Bible says when he came to Noah, he said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But the Lord was looking for men, looking for women that would walk with the Lord. And he found Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so Enoch is only 70 years from Noah. Look, if you would, in the 6th chapter, and I want you to describe what Noah's day was like in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's Enoch's day, as much as it was Noah's day. And so they tell us about, historians tell us, and really the study there, these names kind of tell us about Canaan's or Cain's descendants in his day. And so during Cain's day, there was commerce, there was industry. Matter of fact, Cain built cities in the land of Nod, a place, the word Nod means wilderness. And so he built cities, and they said that there was a mass population of congregation. You know where the most wicked places on this earth, at least in the United States, are? Probably on the earth, is in large cities. Large cities. And so that was the same day, same it was in Cain's day. There was also art and scientific discovery. Look in Genesis chapter number 4. I want you to look at verse number 21. We'll read verse number 19. Matter of fact, there was polygamy there, if you look at the 19th verse. And Lamech took unto him two wives. Now, the Lord said it was between one man and one woman. But Lamech said, this is Cain's line. The ungodly line says, you know what? I'm going to have me two wives. We see that seems to be coming back and more rampant today. There's polygamy. If you look at verse number 20, and Adad bare Jabal. He was the father of such that dwell in tents and of such that have cattle. So here he was, the first farmer, the first cattleman. Then you look at verse number 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. Here he was. He was an inventor. The first inventor, but also the musician. He invented the harp and the organ. You thought, well, I thought they were backwards. I thought they were cavemen. You need to read your Bible. Verse number 22 says, and Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. I don't understand why it gives us that unless you look up the word Naamah, and I think you may give some. But it says that he invented, at least would take things and build things or make things, art, out of brass and out of iron. He had skill, Brother Joyner, like you have skill with wood. He had skill with the brass and with the iron. And so you see music there. You see cities. Cain, when he left from the presence of the Lord, he went to Nod and he built cities. Named the first city after his first son. Matter of fact, if you look at these names of Cain, they're almost identical to the godly line of Seth.
This is a side note for you, not part of my sermon. But that's what the devil does. He deceives, and he has everything that is what we call true religion. He has a false religion. True music, a false music. A true Christian, a phony Christian. He has those. As a matter of fact, if you look at their names, they're almost identical to some of the names in Seth's life. The devil is a deceiver. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, he deceived Eve. We've already spoken about that, but I just want to bring that out to you as a warning. But in this day, and in this time of Cain's wickedness, was the day that Enoch lived. Wasn't way back there we lived in the country, there was nobody around, and him and his family, they come to know the Lord, and that was it. They went to church. Oh, it wasn't like that. It was a wicked day. It was a day like our day. Look, I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter number 17. I've already showed you that it was like the days of Noah. But in Luke chapter number 17, I want to show you at least in the comparison that the Lord gives. Look at verse number 26. Luke 17, verse number 26. And they were asking the Lord when the last days will be, the days that we're looking for. And he says it will be, in verse number 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So we already saw that Enoch was 70 years from the days of Noah. And so God's saying to His own disciples, more than 2,000 years ago, they said, when will it be, Lord, when you're coming back? He said, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached for 120 years and they did not see one convert, one person, come to Jesus. Not one. That's a pretty long time. I don't think I can make it that long. I don't think I'll live that long. That's a long time for God's mercy to be extended. Methuselah lived for 969 years, and so God's mercy there in Noah's day. But I want you to think about, let's keep on reading verse number 26, as it was in the Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see, that old foolish Noah that would preach, a preacher of righteousness, would preach about God's judgment, that they need to turn from their sin and turn to the righteousness of God, was preaching for 120 years. They all said, you know what, that old Noah is just like this preacher this morning. He's foolish. He's full of baloney. That's just one of them Christian fanatics. But yet the Bible says that Noah's day is like our day. They were just going about doing like we do. I want you to think about just this day. I thought about our day. In our day, there's commerce. In our day, there's science advancements. There's technology that seems to be advancing. You take a phone and buy it, and 6 months later, it's obsolete, if not sooner than that. It's the days of sports, days of recreation, days of much education, days of pleasure, days of entertainment. All of this they had. But I want you to think also what's in our day. There's much division in our day. Right now, our nation is divided. It's divided politically, but I will tell you what divided it politically and what's dividing it politically is morality. Hope you get that in your heart. It's morality that's dividing our nation. What's wrong with our whole nation is what's wrong with what the Lord said, thou shalt not bear false witness. You take a bunch of politicians, you say, well, they're all liars. Well, let's just all remove them, put another group of people in there. You know what they are? They're all liars. You say, what's wrong with our nation? Greed. Thou shalt not covet. They love money. And so the lobbyists come in and give them money. What's wrong with our nation is a moral problem. You look at the root of it, and it's morality that's the problem. Not necessarily whether a Democrat or Republican, but it's the morality problem. That's what's wrong with our nation. That's why it's divided. I always would vote my morals first. Put God first, and God take care of your pocketbook. Give you this, number two. They hated each other. There was hatred, and there's hatred in our nation. There's insecurity in our nation. There's fear in our nation. There's murder in our nation. There's violence in our nation. There's disregard for God in our nation. There's contention and hatred on every level about Christianity and religion in every way. That was Noah's day. That's the day that Enoch lived in. And the Bible says that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God because he walked with God for 300 years in his time. You say it can't be done in this day and age. Enoch did it. Noah did it. And by God's grace, we can do it. And as you say, I want to please the Lord, then to be a man or a woman of faith is to walk with the Lord in this day, in this time. Why don't you tell the Lord today, I'll walk with Him. Give you number two. Enoch pleased God, like I said, in his walk. Not only in his time, but it pleased God in his walk. I've already read the verses, verse number 22 and verse number 24. It says on both accounts that Enoch walked with God. And then the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that he pleased God. And I looked up the word pleased just to see what it meant there in the Greek. And it says God was greatly satisfied, or that God was well pleased. God was well pleased with the walk of Enoch. And so I thought, you know, how do you describe? There's not much said about Enoch. How do you describe the walk of God? How do you describe what it is that is a walk before God? And so I began to think about it, and God brought to my mind, what about what God says about men that did walk before Him, that God did claim, and talk about their own testimonies? And so I will just share with you a few verses. You can write them down, what the Bible says about David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 18, it says, when David, he's first described, it said, he is a Bethlehemite, he's cunning in playing music, a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters. Listen to what this statement. And the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. He had been anointed to be king. But I want to tell you something else that happened to him. The Lord anointed him. And when the outside world looked at David, this is what they said. Said, no matter what his qualifications is, said, the Lord's with that man. God's with him. Could that be said of us? I used to pray, and I still do on occasion, Lord, help people not to see me, but to see Christ on me. Could they see that in your life, in my life? I believe you can pray it. I believe God's countenance can go. We used to have a hallway at Crown College. I think it's still there. Been there, hadn't walked that hallway in a while. But they had there godly men. And I would go there and I'd look at those men, and many of them God used in my life. But you could look at them, and I wasn't worshiping them, but you look at them. I remember when they're young, and now I see them where they're old. And there was a holy glow of their countenance. You say you were seeing them. No. You look at godly men and godly women in their age, and you can see a glow of God on them if they're truly men and women of God. You can see God on them. And so you can have that. I can have those things. And so David described him. By the way, it says that he was a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. You know, you don't have to be a sissy to serve the Lord. David was no sissy. Neither was Jesus. Doesn't mean you sit there, but I want to tell you, you can still be a man. It takes more of a man to follow the Lord and serve the Lord and go His way than it does go down the same stream that the world's going down. And so you can be a man of God and still have God's glory on you. And David was that man. Job chapter number 1, verse number 8, this is what God said about Job to Satan. He said, there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man. In other words, he was a mature man. He was an upright man. He walked with God. He was one that feared God and eschewed evil. The word feared means he obeyed the Lord. And he hated this world. You say, what does it look like to walk with God? Well, I gave you two verses. It's pretty good evidence of what it looks like to walk with the Lord. Paul described to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 10, about his life. And he said, all of my life, all of my walk is affected by God. He says, my purpose, he said, my beliefs, all of my manner of life is governed by God. What does that mean? It means it affects where Paul went. It affects where I go. It affects what I say. It affects how I live, what I watch, who I fellowship with. In every area of life, Paul said, is my manner of life has been governed by the Lord. Every area, not just a piece. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus said, or actually God said there in His Word, Leviticus chapter 26, talking to the nation of Israel. He says, if you will honor the Sabbath day and reverence my sanctuary and obey my statutes and obey my commandments, I will bless you. What was he saying? He was saying, this is how you ought to walk with God. And so he's given a description all through the Bible. God shows us how we can walk with God. So Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. And that's how his walk was. It was above what the world would say, just a casual Christianity. And I think all those other men may have been good men. But Enoch walked above where they were. He was a giant in his land. And then lastly, I put Enoch's person pleased God. Enoch's person pleased God. You say, Brother Sewell, why in the world would you say person? Because I believe that every part of Enoch's life pleased the Lord. You know, Enoch was a preacher. He was a prophet. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to Jude, just before Revelations. The book of Jude. Jude and Revelations. Remember, he had a son. And his son named Methuselah says, when he dies, it will come. That was referring to the flood. But this is here, Enoch's preaching about not the flood here, but about the judgment day and the day of the Lord that you and I are looking for. Look at the word in the 14th verse of Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. That means he preached of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. That's not the flood he's talking about. We're looking for the Lord's return. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. One man said, I'm not no longer looking for the signs. I'm looking for the sound, or listen to the sound. Brother, we're that close. We need to listen for the sound of the trumpet. Verse 15, to execute judgment. This is what he's preaching. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That sounds like a pretty hard preacher, doesn't it? Ungodly. 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 In his day, in his time, the same time in which we're living. The same time. You say, what are you saying about his person? I want to tell you, he was bold for Christ. Doesn't mean he was rude. Doesn't mean he was hurtful. But he was bold. I want to tell you something. Somebody will not tell you about a hell to shun and a heaven to claim does not love you. If there was here on the end of this street a big sinkhole and people, everybody knew it in here, but except a few people, and nobody would tell them about that sinkhole, they went down there and went into that sinkhole and died. You wouldn't care anything about that person. I wouldn't care anything about that person. For someone not to be bold for Christ is not declaring that they're politically correct. It's declaring that they don't love the Lord. They're not bold for Christ. And Enoch was a man that was bold for Christ. Not ugly, but bold. Enoch, like I said, not on his person. How about his name? In his name. If you want to go back with me, if you can, to Genesis chapter number 5, that list there, there's a bunch of men that stand out. One of those men that stands out is Adam. How would you like to have Adam as your great-great-grandfather? How about if you was Noah to like to have Methuselah as your grandfather? Lived 969 years in the days of Adam. And all those stories and all the things that we don't have recorded, they knew about. And so you look at men like Methuselah. You look at men like Adam. You look at men like Seth. And you look at these other men that are listed. They were giants in the land. You read the sixth verse, I believe, or the sixth chapter. This is what the Bible talks about, the ungodly seed. It says, and it came to pass when men began, verse number one, to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born of them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took unto them wives. And it goes on to say, if you keep reading, in verse number four, there were giants in the earth in those days. Can I tell you, in the days of Enoch, there were giants too. Spiritual giants. In my day in which I lived, I have known a few. It just seems like that God would raise up a man above men that has some notoriety that God seems to use. I remember listening to men, and even in my lifetime, of W.A. Criswell. He was a mighty man. He was a giant among men. George W. Pruitt, that was before my time. Brother Howes, God used much in my life. Dr. Tom Malone was probably used more than most men in my life. Dr. Adrian Rogers, I've never met. God used him more in my life than any man I've ever known. I've never met him. I'm just listening to you giants that are in the land. And in Enoch's day, men like Adam, men like Seth, they were giants. But I want to tell you something, Enoch, for God's testimony, is a giant. He's a giant in his land. And so when you think of Enoch, what do you think of? You think of a man among men, a giant with God. Just by his very name, you think of him as a man of God. And then let me say lastly and quickly, not only his name, but I want you to see his departure. Enoch's departure. The Bible says, verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. For God took him. When God took him, every time those people, they begin to think about Enoch, they begin to think about what he named his son, they begin to realize what it meant. Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church. This is it in its seed form, in the book of Genesis. Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks of it also there. The church will be raptured out before the great judgment day of tribulation, 7 years of tribulation. And so when I think of Enoch, you know what I think of? God's promise he's going to take church, but I also think of judgment and a sure judgment that is to come. All of this person, his preaching, he warned about the day and age that we live in, the judgment to come. He pleased the Lord in every way. He walked with the Lord. I want your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you would.